the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. There's a lot going on. We've got Dr. Katie Kuhlman, bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the wokeness in the Navy, specifically. I believe it's the Navy. I know it's the military. And they've decided that pronouns are really, really important to military members. It's not about beating the enemy. It's not about the Constitution. It's about using the proper pronouns, because that's really, really important to those who are in the armed services. We've got that for you. We'll also talk about the Border Patrol agent who's in trouble because he did his job on horseback, did not whip anybody, but they lied about somebody whipping somebody. And because they can't criminally charge him, because it turns out didn't whip anybody, they're going to administratively treat the guy like garbage just because they can. We're going to talk about that. Plus, how do you even become a Border Patrol agent today when you know nobody's got your back? We talk about that. Plus, the psychology of Rochelle Walensky at the CDC or Anthony Fauci at the NIH telling parents to get their kids to take the shot. When they say it, people, generally speaking, will line up, I should listen because these are the experts, right? We'll talk about that as well. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Do I have to, really?
Yes.
You know, I'm having a day. I got to do this for you now?
I know. Water pumps and everything. Yes, you have to play.
Wednesday, whatever.
That'll make you feel better.
Why would this make me feel better?
It makes me feel better.
Whatever, dude. In no mood. All right, glad to have you. I appreciate you stopping by. We have to kiss up to Chocolate Voice every Wednesday with some dumb Bon Jovi.
Yes.
Is that his full name, by the way?
No, that is not his name.
Dumb Bon Jovi.
No.
So President Joe Biden's going to help us out. Yes, yeah. He's out there on the beach. He's taking a vacation, taking a break.
He's bicycling.
Doesn't have to worry about gasoline. He's bicycling and falling over like a lump of lard. While all that's going on, people are suffering. We're seeing $6, $7, $8 a gallon in some places, even higher in some places. And now he's going to solve the problem. And the way he's going to solve problem is to just get rid of a tax for a little while. He's trying to just put a Band-Aid on it and act like everything he's done hasn't caused gasoline prices to do what they're doing. Carrie, what do you have?
From ABC, President Biden on Wednesday called on Congress to suspend the federal gas tax for 3 months and asked states to suspend their own gas taxes or provide commensurate relief to consumers. The federal government charges an 18.4-cent tax per gallon of gasoline and a 24.4-cent tax per gallon of diesel. Suspending the tax for 3 months through the end of September will cost about $10 billion, the White House said. I fully understand the gas tax holiday alone is not going to fix the problem, Biden said in remarks delivered from the South Court Auditorium, but it will provide families some immediate relief, just a little bit of breathing room as we continue working to bring down prices for the long haul.
So he didn't announce that we're going to increase production of oil, going to increase going in domestically, finding more?
No.
Maybe restoring and the construction of the Keystone XL. He didn't say any of that?
No, he did not.
So in other words, he's going to do a gasoline tax holiday. He wants to, so that he can say what? See, gas prices are going down. Vote for Democrats in the midterms. This is all political, because the reason why the gas is so high is because of what he's done. And he at one point today said something like, so you would rather have lower gas prices and allow Putin to do what he's doing in Ukraine? He keeps on making that connection as if Putin is who did this. He did this. When he was elected, the first 2 or 3 days, he signed 41 or 45 different executive orders, many of them stopping our independence on energy here. We were independent. We didn't have to worry about energy from anywhere else. Plus, we were building a pipeline that would bring more friendly oil into our refineries from Canada. He stopped that. He did that on purpose. He campaigned on getting rid of fossil fuels. And now he's acting like it's Putin. He keeps on saying, As if that's the equivalency. If you want lower gas prices, you want dead Ukrainians. If you want Ukraine to win the war, you should be happy to have higher gas prices. And then he says something that's completely disconnected, like, we're going to stop the gasoline tax for a while, going to give you a gasoline tax holiday. And then he keeps on releasing the strategic oil reserves that are supposed to be there strategically in case we're ever attacked, God forbid. Nothing he's done is fixing anything. But he's hoping that people will see a few cents lower at the pump per gallon, and they're going to say, well, look what Joe Biden did. This is great. This is awesome. And because they've solved, by the way, first of all, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Do you think this so-called gasoline tax holiday will solve the problem? Is this what you want Joe Biden to do? Is this what you think his role is? Instead of increasing production, maybe building more refineries, going and getting more and researching, developing more out there in Anwar and elsewhere, clean coal, liquefied natural, instead of going and getting more resources, just let's get rid of the tax for a little while to make you feel like the price is lower. Do you think that's going to help out? And the second thing has to be this thing about the Juul cigarettes. I don't smoke at all. I smoked cigarettes until 1996. I quit then. I haven't smoked anything, maybe a vape here and there over the past few years. When Gabby first got into it, I tried it as well, but I've never done a Juul. I guess it's a vape. I don't know. But Carrie, they're banning this now? Is that the story they're getting? Because they've solved every other problem in America and globally. So let's get rid of the Juul.
From Bloomberg, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is getting ready to order Juul Labs Inc. e-cigarettes off the market, the Wall Street Journal reported, citing people familiar with the matter. The decision could be announced as early as Wednesday, according to the journal. Juul representatives could not immediately be reached for comment. A spokesperson for the FDA declined to comment. Now, the FDA banned the sale of fruity and sweet flavors for e-cigarettes following criticism the products were targeted at minors. And regulators have been reviewing thousands of applications for vaping products since tightening their oversight of what had become an unruly marketplace. Among Juul's biggest backers is Marlboro maker Altria Group, Inc., which holds a 35% stake in the company, according to a recent securities filing. Altria values its stake at $1.6 billion after writing it down in a series of moves over the past few years. Shares of Altria declined as much as 10% in New York trading on Wednesday. The spokesman for Altria declined to comment. Earlier this year, the FDA allowed some products made by Juul rival Enjoy Inc. to remain on the market, and last year authorized British American Tobacco PLC's e-cigarette views. As some observers had expected Juul to win the FDA's backing after years of back and forth between the company and regulators. Regulators have hoped e-cigarettes could present an alternative for smokers who are trying to quit using traditional tobacco products. And Juul's device has remained popular with some adults who say it helped them kick a cigarette habit. Yet public health officials have also documented an epidemic of underage vaping. They fear has hooked a new generation of users on nicotine. Other health issues, including a scare over an acute lung-damaging illness, have also been linked to e-cigarettes.
The whole thing is confusing to me because a couple of things are important. I'm an adult and I like fruity flavors. Fruity flavors are only for kids. I mean, it's not like they're using a cartoon character like Joe Camel was to sell these vapes. That's not what it is at all. Any marketing I've heard about the Juul is marketing that is directed at adults. And it even says you've got to be a certain age to even buy these. I'm not sure why this is the most important thing going right now. And the whole idea that e-cigarettes were killing people and causing strange diseases, this was like one batch from one place that they identified. So, again, I'm not sure why. Carrie, guess what I don't get? And yeah. I tend to be a logic guy, a rational guy, a common sense guy. I can still go and buy a carton of cigarettes, can I?
Yes, you can.
But they're looking to ban the Juul electronic cigarette.
Correct.
And the reason they give is that there was some batch that gave people some illness. This has got to be 4 or 5 years ago now, something like that. But we're not going to stop selling cigarettes, even though they give you a hardening of the arteries, they give you lung cancer, and they've got formaldehyde and cyanide and everything else in them. We're going to keep selling those, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because they didn't say they're looking to ban those, right?
No, it did not.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, yep.
Because, again, I'm trying to be somebody who's got half a brain here, and you've told me for years it's only about half a brain, and what I'm trying to put together is, thank you, what I'm trying to put together here is why we would get rid of one but not the other. And then I'm like, well, maybe the cigarette lobby is trying to get rid of the Juul, but you just said the maker of Marlboro has like a 35% stake.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it's not anti-cigarette company. And now they're worried that more people will get hooked on nicotine. Now, if I'm the vape maker, and I'm not, and I don't ever plan to sell vapes, but if I'm the vape maker, I'll just make vapes without any nicotine. Because the only vaping I did was, it was a fruity flavor, but it had zero nicotine, not even a 0.1 anything. 0% nicotine, because I don't want nicotine. I was hooked on it back in the 90s, so I didn't want that. And I didn't feel like the vapor was a big deal. I didn't like the way it made me feel and whatever else, and it was unnatural for me, so I stopped. But I didn't understand why that was an issue. Just get rid of the nicotine, because what you really get out of cigarette smoking, and look, if you're some sort of an expert or a scientist, you want to correct me here, feel free, but nicotine is an upper. Cigarettes are effective for those who smoke them because it relaxes you. You're like, well, how does it relax you if nicotine is an upper? Well, the nicotine is an upper, but the deep breaths relax you. So I didn't need the nicotine, but the deep breaths that helped me to relax certainly helped. So if I'm a vape maker, I'll say, hey, listen, dude, I got you. We won't put any nicotine in there. And Carrie, I'll bet they'll sell a whole lot of them anyway.
I'm sure.
Because I don't think people are buying them because of the nicotine.
No, I know a lot of people who vape. I've never done it, so I don't know.
You know, here we are.
If it was out without nicotine, they'd probably still do it.
Yes, like I said, I did.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh my god, I need the nicotine. Wasn't anything like that. So if we're gonna be the land of the free and the home of the brave, then why do we keep doing crap like this? You can buy cigarettes and kill yourself with them. You can drink alcohol till you die of alcohol poisoning or kill somebody driving a car down a road. A lot of states are legalizing all sorts of drugs, but you can't buy a Juul vape? Come on, dude. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Your thoughts when we come back. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Appreciate you. The question in my chat room is, did my parents smoke? Yep, my dad smoked 4 or 5 packs a day. And he quit when he got cancer. Then he lived about 6 more years, then he died from it. My mother smoked until she got pregnant with Monica, who is my sister, who also works on the program. And she was in her mid-30s, I think, and she quit smoking and never went back. And she's still with us, thank God. So yes, they both smoked, but then again, back then, smoking was sexy. Smoking was what you did. Smoking was what the movie stars did. It was represented as something that Americans do. And that's a shame. It was certainly misrepresented, that's for sure. And the warnings were not put out there as they should have been, for sure. But getting rid of the Juul e-cigarette because it smells fruity or something, and that they're somehow hooking a new generation on nicotine, I'm not sure I understand. First of all, again, you can buy things that are much more dangerous than an e-cigarette at just about any convenience store. That's the first thing. Second thing, why is this so important right now when we've got a dying economy, an economy that is absolutely dead? We've got hyperinflation going on. We've got gas prices through the roof. We've got interest rates going up. We've got war over on the other side of the world, and we're worried about e-cigarettes. I just think that the priorities of this administration just seem to be so screwed up, it doesn't make any sense to me. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-7247, joepags.com. We tell you about Superbeats. Superbeats, a great sponsor, going to help you with your health, going to support a healthy blood pressure, a healthy lifestyle. You know, energy and our energy levels come from our blood flow, our circulation. That is regulated by the miracle molecule called nitric oxide. We make a lot of it when we're younger. We make less of it. We produce less of it as we get older. Superbeats will help to enhance your ability to make this nitric oxide. And what they've done with Superbeats is they've combined non-GMO beets and grapeseed extract. They taste delicious when they're combined. It's actually kind of amazing. So I want you to go and check this out. And if you haven't tried them, try them. They're delicious. You put them in your gym bag, put them in your pocketbook, put them in your purse, in your console, maybe even in your pocket. You won't forget to take them in the morning. It's part of your new healthy morning routine. To make things easy for you, to get started, get you up to 45% off, plus free shipping at joelovesbeats.com, website they made just for you. Hurry up, it's their best offer available anywhere. That's joelovesbeats.com for up to 45% off of Super Beats, joelovesbeats.com. Make that happen right now. We go to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time. Greg, what's going on in Minnesota?
Oh, Joe, it's an honor to be talk to you.
Thank you.
I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller. Just want to say I think this gas tax relief is the stupidest idea because all it's going to do is dry up all the supply. We're going to see gas lines like the misery we saw in the 70s under Jim Okada.
Who is Jimmy Carter? The way you said that, I didn't even register. It sounded like you said Jim Okada.
I was just imitating his voice.
And not bad. Not listen, we are reliving Jimmy Carter. This is Jimmy Carter 2.0. I thought that Barack Obama was, and Obama was really bad, being really bad. Jimmy Carter is still probably worse. Joe Biden makes Jimmy Carter look like, you know, freaking Abraham Lincoln. It's crazy how bad this guy is. Back at it, line three is Jay in Delray Beach, Florida. What's happening, Jay? Hi.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Living the dream. What's happening?
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk about the gas tax thing as well. It just doesn't make any sense to me that we wouldn't just go back to the Trump era policies that gave us energy independence. And I'm sure the Biden administration could wrap it up like they did it and just go back to the exact policies that we were under the day before he came into office.
Well, they could, but see, they don't want to give us the relief. They actually hate oil companies, they hate fossil fuels, and they're in the bag for green energy. So you're right, they could repackage it, act like they came up with the idea themselves, not even give Trump any credit. But it's not about political credit. It's about them literally trying to change the energy on which we run.
Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense. They should just do what they lie about everything else. They might as well just go ahead and lie about that, repackaging it. But I guess you're right. I guess they don't care.
No, well, they don't want to because they actually hated the way Jay, I appreciate that. They don't want to. They literally hated the fact that we were energy independent. They hated the fact that we were still based on fossil fuels. They ran on the fact they wanted to get rid of fossil fuels. So even to make themselves look better, to close the border, all they have to do is put the Trump policies back in place and call them the Biden policies. They don't want. They want an open border. They want a globalist society. They want a one world order. So they're not going to go back and fix it because that would actually make us a sovereign nation again with our own laws, our own freedoms, our own liberties, and our own way of life. They don't want that. This is a globalist play. And to do that, you've got to push climate change. You've got to push fossil fuels bad. You've got to push that solar and electric is better somehow, even though they can't even admit how the electricity is paid for. That goes into these electric cars. Of course, it's from coal and from generation plants, but we act like they're not. Very strange. Let me go back at it. Let me say hello and welcome to line four is Michael. Michael, what's up?
Hey, Joe, longtime listener. I follow you on Twitter also.
Cool.
I'm the elite peasant.
Nice.
I was just curious as to what was the gas tax when Trump was in office, or did the Democrats enact that when Biden came into presidency?
No, there's been no change in the gas tax. It was the same.
Okay, so there's no reason why they should even have to drop it to lower the gas prices then.
True. I agree. You and I agree, Michael. Okay. Because what Trump did was he made sure that we were energy independent. He made sure that we opened up research and development in Anwar and other places, made sure that you could actually drill, made the deal to get the Keystone XL pipeline done. I mean, there were very simple things that Trump did, lowered regulations. With every new regulation, he said get rid of two regulations. They did that. Smaller size of government, lower taxation. So it all worked. And it all worked very well. It's a good question. Did the Democrats show up and add a bunch of taxes on gas? No. Nope. Same as it was under Trump. And the difference is you've got less supply. The future of oil and gas and fossil fuels looks really bleak because we don't want to be independent anymore. We're begging Venezuela. We're begging, you know, other countries that don't like it, Saudi Arabia, to make more when we could have done it ourselves. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com, Dr. Katie Coleman. When we come back, going to talk about the psychology of big government telling us to get these shots and much more. Stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Mm-hmm.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really glad to have this young lady back. She's a clinical psychologist, Dr. Catherine Kuhlman. Katie, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm so well, Pags. How are you?
I'm well as well. I'm glad that you are well. There's a lot going on, and I love just getting your straight analysis of what it is that we're seeing. And I want to start with the military. This is one of those stories that just doesn't make sense because I haven't been in the military. My father was in the Air Force, and thank God he allowed somebody like me to do what I want to do. Fought for freedom and liberty. That's the job. You fight for the Constitution. That's the job. These men and women that are joining today are not really being told this is the job. They're being told we've got to be careful of everybody's feelings, and we've got to ask about pronouns. We've got to think about CRT and stuff like that. Now, Katie, I'm guessing if you're in the war theater, you're not going to tell the enemy, hey, hold on a second. Make sure you go with she and her for me. I don't think that that's a thing. Why is that something that seems to be so ultimately important to this Department of Defense?
I don't know why it's important to the Department of Defense. You know, and I'm sure some of your viewers have seen one of the more recent videos that came out from the Navy with two people talking about pronouns and how to be inclusive in the workplace. It's cringy to watch. And like when I think about what I want from my military, I want trained fighters. I want people that I know that can go overseas and fight for me and my freedoms and aren't going to be thinking about pronouns. You know, before you shoot and kill someone, are you going to wonder if you're shooting and killing a man or a woman or a they or an it? Probably not.
Right.
Like you're focused on the behavior and the threat and that's it. And look, I get it. I get that there's all of these legal issues now and there's training curriculums. But I feel like it's watered down what the training should be. This is not what people signed up for. And I don't think this is what we want from our military. I don't want them to get out of the military and come back into our world and be soft.
No, well, I couldn't agree more. And the thing is, we're talking about 1% of the population deals with pronoun, you know, issues. They deal with gender ID issues. We're acting as if it's like 95% of us that deal with this. Do you have any opinion as a clinical psychologist and as an awesome person? Why exactly is it that we're focusing on something that is so small a part of our society? We talk about inclusion. It would be more inclusive to say, I want to include you in killing the enemy and standing up for our Constitution, and less inclusion about how do you feel today, gender-wise. What are your thoughts as somebody who's gone through the science of this as to why we're focusing on such a small number, small demographic in our population?
So this kind of reminds, so when I was in graduate school, one of the things that we had to do was we had to take this year-long multicultural sequence. So we learned all about diversity and inclusion and different races and, you know, pronouns, you name it, we learned about it. And one of the things that I noticed going through the course with the people within my cohort was that there seemed to be like a hierarchy of like oppression, basically.
Okay.
And it seems like any oppressed group kind of wants to try to shout louder than the next one to get the attention, to get things changed.
Right.
And so we've been focused, I think, as a country on race for a really long time. And now we have another population with LGBTQ plus who now would like this rise for change. And you're right, like it's a small percentage. And one of the things that I've always wondered myself was like, if I'm calling somebody by the wrong pronouns, just tell me. Don't get mad at me for it, but just say, hey, you know, I would prefer to be called he instead of she, and
right.
I'll correct myself. And that's how dialogue goes, right? We're kind to one another and we can respect one another. But there's this overarching theme of like you're a bad person if you don't already know or if you're not already, you know, uber considerate about it.
It's kind of interesting. It's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com. It is drkuhlman.com, right?
Yes.
It's a Kuhlman, by the way. Very interesting what you said, and you didn't say it incorrectly, but let me add a little bit more context. You said people who are oppressed. I'm going to go out on a limb and say people who think they're oppressed. Because
yes, they feel oppressed.
Right. I'm not oppressing anybody who's got a gender ID issue. I'm not oppressing anybody who's in an alphabet, LBGTQXYZ123. I'm not oppressing anybody who is other than a white heterosexual male. But the assumption is that they are oppressed or they feel oppressed. And because of their feeling of oppression, I need to change my action. That's a little bit outlandish, isn't it?
Well, I would agree. And in the field of psychology, there's this thing, it's called cognitive distortions or irrational thinking. And we all do these all the time. But one of them is called emotional reasoning. And basically What that means is that when we feel something, we assume it to be true. So that means if I feel scared, there must be a threat around me. But that's not always the case.
Right.
And in this case, I feel oppressed. Therefore, somebody must have done something to oppress me. And that's not always the case. And so it's unfortunate that you have people who feel oppressed and maybe at times truly have been. Yeah. I don't want to take that away from them. But when they're feeling something and blaming others for how they're feeling, that's not always the best thing because why would you want to give up that control?
It's a great point. And again, I do believe that it's either people who feel oppressed or they're acting like they're oppressed to get somebody to change their attitude or actions towards them. And I'm a live and let live kind of guy. It's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com. We always appreciate your knowledge. Let me talk about the same general topic, but when it comes to children, we see younger and younger, whether it be preschool or elementary school, we're seeing libs on TikTok is outlining and really showing that there are teachers that are teaching gender ID, that are teaching sexual orientation to people who haven't even hit puberty yet. And they're talking about, you know, who you prefer to sleep with, which is sexual orientation, or that Bobby can be a girl if he wants to young, moldable minds. And to me, I don't know if you can get into this psychoanalytically, but to me, a child is told by mom and dad, you pay attention to the teacher, you listen to what the teacher says. What the teacher says is going to be what you need to learn. And these teachers, I think some of them, a small minority, are taking advantage of that and really pushing an agenda. How different is it for somebody who's like me, 55, and you're not going to change my opinion very easily, and somebody who's 4 or 5 years old, whose opinion is being formed as we speak?
Well, kids' brains are so malleable, and they take in the information, and that kids also have a desire to please. And so if they're learning something in school from their teacher, they're going to want to say the right thing to their teacher that's right. Going to please their teacher. And there's so much science behind this. And like specifically, when you look at the data and the research behind children who give false confessions, for example, there's a reason why there's an entire field called forensic interviewing that people get specially trained in when they're going to interview kids, because kids are they're far more likely than an adult to try to tell somebody what they want to hear. And the same thing goes with kids in the classroom with these teachers who are projecting an agenda, right? Teachers should stick to the curriculum.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be swaying children one way or the other. And teachers have a lot of power, especially when it comes to kids and what they're learning and what they're retaining as knowledge.
What you just said makes so much sense. When I was in school, and maybe you felt the same way, you wanted the gold star. You wanted an A. You wanted the teacher to think that you were a good student today. And I saw a piece of video yesterday where there's this black teacher who's actually got the entire class reciting something called the Afro-American Pledge of Allegiance. And it was nuts because the words, I pledge allegiance to the Afro-American Pledge of the United States of America and to treat black people right or something. And this is a teacher in public school. And the kids want to say, hey, teacher, look, I know all the words. I recited it like you said. I stood up and put my hand over my heart. And the kid's going to go home and be completely confused about whether there really is an individual race of pledge of allegiance or whether or not Bobby is really Barbara. And we're confusing people. Why can't we just, like you said, teach the curriculum, teach the 3 R's, teach children what they need to know to be productive members of society, and stop the indoctrination. Can we as a society stop the indoctrination that's being put on our kids by some teachers in schools we're forced to pay for?
I think so. Parents really need to stand up for and understand what their kids are learning in school. I think it's okay. You know, parents need to demand the syllabi. They need to demand to see the curriculum.
Yeah.
And if there's an issue with what their kids are being taught, they need to say something, you know, or, you know, you fight with your wallets, you put your kids in private school, or you move them to a different school, request other teachers. And that's going to ultimately send a message, right? That you know, because it's a small percentage of teachers, right? Probably most teachers are not the ones that are engaging in this kind of biased, woke kind of teachings,
yeah.
Right? But the ones that are, that's incredibly concerning. Let's just put them all in a separate school. And if you want your kids to be woke, they can go to that school.
Yeah, that would be good. Here is woke school and here is non-woke school. I would go for the non-woke, obviously. It's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. Go to drkuhlman.com, K-U-H-L-M-A-N. You see her on Newsmax. You see her on Fox News. You see her on America's Voice. You see her here, and she's doing a great job. To the point that we just made about authority and our want, our desire as human beings, whether children or adults, to make authority understand that we do get it and we are listening. I want to show you a tweet, if you don't mind. This is from Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who is at the CDC. Yesterday, she tweeted, "Today I endorsed ACIP's recommendation that all children 6 months through 5 years of age should receive a COVID-19 vaccine. Parents, I strongly encourage you to get your children vaccinated against COVID-19. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, this is not a vaccine against COVID-19. It doesn't stop you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. This is an experimental drug, EUA. But now you've got the director of the Centers for Disease Control urging parents to have their kids 6 months to 5 years old get this shot that hasn't proven effective on kids 6 months to 5 years old. In fact, Dr. Fauci told Rand Paul the other day, I don't have a study that I can cite that says that this is good for them. So you're a parent, you're working your face off, you're taking kids to soccer practice, you're planning dinner, you're ironing the clothes, and you hear Dr. Walensky says, hey, have your six-month-old get a shot. You're probably going to listen. That's pretty dangerous, isn't it?
What is it? And if I recall correctly, when kids contract COVID-19, the symptoms are quite mild anyway. So
yes.
It's like, what are you vaccinating against, really? But you're right. Right? When you've got somebody like the director of the CDC, who this is a high level position. This is a person who is viewed as an expert among many.
Right.
Saying something like this, people are going to be less likely to question it. And that's really the case in any expert, right? That a person who is, you know, supposed to have credibility that people see as reliable, as credible, as an expert, can get away with saying a lot of things without being questioned. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's just the way that it is. And so there's power that comes along with that. And there's a big power differential when you've got the head of the CDC and a parent. Who is a parent to question the authority of the head of the CDC? Of course they can, but why would they? They would think, well, who am I? If they're saying this must be true. And with a lot of power can come a lot of damage.
Yeah, what's interesting is, you're right. I mean, parents, we don't have the time to go and do these studies. We assume that she is basing what she's saying on studies. It turns out she's not. It turns out there are no studies available. And as you said, most children barely even know that they have COVID, unless they've got comorbidities, and unless their doctor says, maybe you should think about the shot. There really is no reason for anybody under 40 to get the shot if you go through the studies and see what the percentages are. The higher risk people, of course, are the elderly. The higher risk people are those with heart disease and hypertension and so on, in diabetes. If there's a comorbidity, your doctor should tell you should go and get it. Yet they keep on pushing this. Is there something that we've got to change in our brains, do you think, Katie, that tells us, listen to what Walensky said, listen to what Fauci said, but also pay attention to what Rand Paul says and what Dr. Katie Kuhlman says and what Dr. Robert Malone says? Is there a way that we balance that out? Because as you said, for so long, this has been presented as a government official who is out for our own better good, who's saying do something, and here's talk show host saying don't.
Boy, we have to get away from this whole one size fits all approach. And I feel like that's been the response to COVID-19 is everybody get the vaccine, everybody stay home, everybody wear a mask. And we know that our human bodies and the field of medicine and healthcare is far more complex and individualized than that. And so we have to step away and not do this one size fits all approach, but really look at us as individuals, taking data from all of these different sources and then having that conversation with your own doctor who knows you the best before making any kind of decision. Because maybe it is the best decision for you, but you want to weigh all of those factors first. And it's not going to be the best decision for somebody else. And so I really don't like this idea of everybody needs to do X, Y, or Z, because that's not the right approach to healthcare ever.
And it's also called informed consent. If you're not informed, and we're not being informed by these people, I'm not going to give my consent. Don't tell anybody I'm not vaccinated and I had COVID last week and I kicked its ass rather easily with ivermectin and a bunch of vitamins. So the idea that a 6-month-old child should get this doesn't make any sense. It's Dr. Katie Kuhlman. That's my opinion. I'm not thrusting my opinion on you. Dr. Katie Kuhlman, go to drkuhlman.com. I would be remiss if I don't go to some of the first responders. You and I talked briefly before we started today about these Border Patrol agents who are trained on horseback, who are trained on how to round people up who are trying to illegally enter the country. There was a still picture that was taken that almost looked like the reins were being used as a whip. The person who took the picture said, no way they were using the reins as a whip. They weren't whipping anybody. This has been mistold. Yet still, the Biden administration says, we're going to punish administratively the people who were doing their training on horseback. What are your thoughts on that? And what goes through the mind, I know that you deal with first responders all the time, what goes through the mind of a man or a woman who's decided to put their lives on the line to protect the country and protect the citizens who are being attacked wrongfully like this? And we know that they're being attacked wrongly. They didn't whip anybody.
What? This happens all the time, right? In this case, it was a still photo. But for lots of local law enforcement, this is, you know, a couple seconds of a YouTube video without any kind of context. And so it's really unfortunate because people see a very small little bit and they make an assumption, which is what happened to this poor Border Patrol officer who was just doing his job. Everybody that knows anything about the situation says that, you know, what's being alleged was not the case. And how horrific that you've got the Biden administration coming down on these folks. And that's probably the saddest thing to me is that you've got, you know, the leader of the free world not taking facts into account, not taking experts into account, not taking even what this Border Patrol officer, Border Patrol agent says, or the photographer says, and just making this just rash decision. It's really unfortunate. And it's unfortunate that this agent really isn't getting their due process. The National Police Association, I believe, filed a lawsuit, and kudos to them for doing so in this case. But this is what law enforcement officers deal with all the time. They're constantly being vilified. They're constantly being criticized for doing their jobs. And it's not a job personally that I would want to do. I'm humbled and I'm honored to be able to just support them every single day. But that is a rough job, and it takes a very special person to do that.
Well, I mean, you're going into the job knowing that your bosses don't have your back. Your bosses are looking for you to do something wrong. Are you finding people, I've got only about 10, 15 seconds. Are you finding that people on the job are leaving and saying, that's it, I can't do this anymore. There's too much of a high risk of me not having a backup if I do something that I know was right, but somebody alleges it was wrong?
Well, we were seeing that for a bit. There were record numbers of retirements and resignations. I think the departments have realized that their approach and not having officers' backs and having low morale within departments was impacting that. And a lot of departments, at least the ones with brains, have made efforts to try to improve that and to try to have their officers' backs. A lot of the chiefs that I know absolutely have their officers' backs, but a lot of times their hands are tied because they have to report to mayors and city councils and the politicians.
A lot of these radical DAs, too. Some of them, though, being recalled, which is a very good thing, maybe we can start slowing down crime. Katie, we always fly through about 16, 17 minutes. Thank you so much for taking the time. Go to drkuhlman.com, drkuhlman.com. It's Dr. Catherine Kuhlman. Thanks a million.
Of course, anytime.
All right, we're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, great to have you. Time for some quick pop culture. Boop. Polo, make it happen, brother.
So I don't know if you saw this, but former NFL player Tony Siragusa passed away at the age of 55.
Did not see that.
Yeah. They haven't released what he died from, but it's just crazy because, I mean, I hadn't seen him in a while. I remember seeing him like on Fox, and then he had like his Man Cave show.
He was on everything, yeah.
Yeah, but he just disappeared.
All right, gotta go. That sucks. All right, keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.